is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are rolling along on this jam-packed edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. He's out in Jersey. I'm live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Lots of quarterback talk on the way. Also in about 15 minutes, we'll have our guy Harry Gagnon, former Las Vegas sportsbook supervisor, current host of the Against All Odds podcast, join us with his usual Thursday night football pick, which, Michael, I can tell you already, I have his same bet in pocket currently, and I can't wait for you to just scorn the both of us for what we have done this week.
Oh, no. Is it a teaser? Tell me it's a teaser. You love those
teasers.
Do
you know me at all? Of course it is, but we'll save that one. And see, that's what you call a tease. We'll get to that in about 15, 20 minutes or so when Harry joins us. But let's start with the big news that came through right before we started the program earlier today, that Zach Wilson will go ahead and be the starting quarterback ultimately this week against the Houston Texans after all of the back and forth about the team wanting him back, but he's reluctant. Tim Boyle starting, Tim Boyle released. They bring in Brett Rypien. The saga goes on, Michael. It will be Zach Wilson.
I mean, you can't, for a team that's won four games and really should have won three, if the Giants make a field goal in that game, they're really 3-9. I know Bill Parcells says you are what your record won. I'm not ready to give them that one. But to me, they make a lot of noise and get nothing done. I mean, they haven't improved offensively. The line's still bad. You know, the team's reaction to this. I mean, somebody leaked the story, right? I mean, Saleh yesterday was clearly saying that he wasn't convinced that Zach was ready to go back in there. And then all of a sudden, Zach's ready to go back in. So there's a lot of layers to this that go through it. And the layer that really only concerns us here at VSiN and DraftKings is how does this impact the betting line, right, Stormy? I mean, that all this soap opera stuff is just window dressing for how does this affect the line against the Texans. And I don't think it does at all. I think it doesn't. But then I look, and now the line today, when I look at it, DraftKings New Jersey here, -4. Now, there's still some fives out there. There's a couple 4.5s, but it's down to 4 now. And I don't believe that's because of Wilson coming into play. I think that has a lot to do with the weather.
Interesting. Especially because, like, I agree from the standpoint of I don't think that it's significant enough of a move bringing in Zach Wilson. I mean, Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian, the offense did look worse, but how much worse? I mean, not very much. And Zach Wilson is really interesting to me because he does have moments and glimpses of potential, and you think about what you saw from him in college, yet I don't know if it's attention to detail. I don't know if it's deer in the headlights. I don't know if it's want to be here or what, but I just don't have faith in him, and it seems like the locker room hasn't had faith in him. Robert Saleh gets on the podium and says he gives us the best chance to win. He's been saying that throughout the entire year, yet they're still not winning games. So I don't know. For me, I really like what I've seen from C.J. Stroud and this Texans team. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. Do they have success in the favorites role? Not often. Yet I still like lean toward Houston and getting a better number. If you get 4 and if they continue to take money, I'd be more and more interested in Houston.
You know, it's funny. This is almost like a reverse line movement here because from looking at my list across all the betting markets, Houston has gotten 79% of the money, and yet the line's moving towards the Jets. And look, a lot of that, too, is because we know Houston is a favorite. Houston is very fortunate. I mean, last week they had an opportunity to get off the field on 4th and 2 from their own, from the 10, and Russell Wilson scrambled, and then they made the great play to keep him out of the end zone, or else they lose that game. They had a chance to lose other games down the stretch, too, but they found ways to win, which is a credit to C.J. Stroud. And also, but we know this is a team that lost to, this is the only team that lost to Carolina.
Yeah.
All right, let's not get ahead of ourselves here a little bit. They did lose to Carolina in Carolina. And they are going to play in the cold weather of the wind and all that. This is why, for me, until further notice, I'm postponing anything when it involves these kind of win games.
Yeah.
Because it's hard enough to handicap. I'm sure you and Harry can, but for me, it's hard enough to handicap when I can't control the weather. Now with the weather coming in here with the Jets and there's a fumble here and a fumble there and, you know, a tip pass, the Jets couldn't play well. You know, I talk about the everybody said, well, the Falcons are coming to play inside the dome. Who were the? What was the team that turned the ball over last week in bad weather? It wasn't the team that played indoors. It was the Jets.
It's a mess at MetLife, I'm calling it this week. And that loss to the Panthers, Michael, is the only thing that Carolina can hang on this year. Bryce Young beat CJ Stroud. They got it, baby. That's all they got. But they're going to hang their hat on it for sure. Okay, let's get to another quarterback update. Trevor Lawrence, according to Doug Peterson, does have a high ankle sprain. He actually said just a high ankle sprain. So clearly optimistic from that standpoint. He called him day to day. The expectation on the surface certainly feels like Trevor Lawrence would not be able to go. It's going to be an uphill battle if he were to be able to. But we did see him overcome a knee sprain that we believe to be pretty bad going into a game earlier this season, and he ended up playing. He has yet to miss a start so far in his NFL career. If he does not go, it'll be CJ Beathard, who came in relief the last few minutes of that game. Earlier this week, they're taking on Joe Flacco and the Browns. Browns, a 3.5-point favorite, total 30.5.
Yeah, I mean, look, and this is a big win game here too, right? So we know that. And, you know, this is going to be a little bit of an issue for the Browns. Their defense, we know, plays much better at home. I mean, it's just a fact. It's just, it's there. You can't deny it. For some reason, they feel comfortable playing in there with the weather, the wind, and all that. When you look at the most passing yards against this team at home was 165 yards by Baltimore when Dorian Thompson-Robinson played. So the other games, they've had three games under 77 yards passing at home against them. Cincinnati in the opener, Tennessee, and then Arizona with Clayton Tune. So they've not, you know, they've been really good at home. They've been able to play these bad weather looking games in the under. And the way Flacco played last week, now you got to be careful. Amari Cooper left the game last week with a concussion. I think that's a significant injury. Because if you're going to throw the, you're going to have to throw the ball to beat Jacksonville. I really believe that. I think you got to throw it to beat them. You know, last week, surprisingly, for having Flacco coming off the bench, they didn't care about calling runs.
Yeah.
They got completely away from the run game. They didn't even try to run the ball against them. So I think they're going to have to. And if with the weather and all that, that's going to play into it. You know, the Browns were the dog, I think, by 1.3. And now they're the favorite by 3 because of the Lawrence injury. Yeah. And I don't expect him to play. I really don't.
Yeah, looking around 50 degrees. 86% chance of rain and thunderstorms, 20-mile-an-hour wind. So significant weather there. That's why that total's gone from 38.5 now to 30.5. And of course, the quarterback issues there. We did also get reports today that it looks like Kevin O'Connell is going to go back to Josh Dobbs for the Minnesota Vikings after the back-to-back losses. They had the bye week to reset as they get set to come out here to Vegas and visit the Raiders as a 3-point favorite, total 40. Josh Dobbs v. Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, look, I like this coaching matchup here. Brian Flores against Bo Hargrave, who's the offensive coordinator of the Raiders, and their setup. Because Flores, and this is nothing against Bo, this is a really hard matchup when you're going against Flores because he does so many different things at the line of scrimmage to make the rookie quarterback have to get your checks in and handle. It's a real issue. I mean, most offensive line coach you talk to in the league, you know, they don't want to play Minnesota. The way they move their front, the way they stem, and it's hard to run the football on them. Remember, for the Raiders to win with Aiden O'Connell, a quarterback, you got to run the ball. And Denver played at home against this Minnesota team, and they could only run for 46 yards. And we know Denver tried to run the ball. They just couldn't do it. Since week 3 of the season, the Vikings have been very good. The most yards against them has been 370 yards, and the Falcons did that on the road. And they've had 5 games under 300 yards they've allowed defensively. So if they don't turn this thing over by their offense, if they protect the football, then they should be able to win this game. Now, here's the issue. Can Josh Dobbs throw the ball effectively against the Raiders? Because that's what you have to do against the Raiders. You got to throw it. Their secondary is going to play zone. There's a lot of throws. Kevin O'Connell will do a good job of scheming it. If they turn it over, then that's going to get into some trouble. And that's where, as good as Minnesota has been defensively, I mean, the Denver game, they lose. Why do they lose to Denver? Because they turned the ball over 3 times, and those 9 points is what cost them the game.
Yeah, they turned the ball over three times in that game. And then against Chicago, Josh Dobbs picked off four times. I need to get back to the Pastrnak of the early portion of his time in Minnesota where he didn't know the playbook and he was playing free, he was playing loose. That's what I need. Maybe he's overthinking things a little bit these last couple of weeks. One more real quickly, this last 90 seconds. Tommy DeVito is going to go ahead and start for the Giants despite Tyrod Taylor having his practice window open coming off of injured reserve. The New Jersey native has been everybody's favorite at Italiano.
Oh my gosh.
Back-to-back win so far.
Oh
but,
my God.
But a different animal, though, against Green Bay this week compared to what he's seen the last 2 weeks.
You know, I thought it was interesting. Did you see the comment today? They said Taylor said no comment during his Tuesday media availability. And he said that those are the first non-comments of my life. I can't believe they're going with DeVito. I really can't. I mean, look, DeVito's a nice story. They've won some games. But the reality of this is he's taken a boatload of sacks, right? And he's gotten – the offense can't seem to – it isn't like they've been dominating offensively. So, for me, I'm surprised. And I don't think – I think Tyrod Taylor is probably more surprised than I am in this game.
He said he's disappointed, but it's part of the game. And to your point, declined to go into any details about how he's feeling or the communications of that information. But has anyone had a rougher life as a backup quarterback who gets opportunities than Tyrod Taylor? Like, every stop that he has had, it is just brutal. 6.5 points, the spread, that's part of two games on Monday Night Football this week. But oddly enough, they're being played at the same time, which I don't agree with. Total 37. We'll be right back. Harry Gagnon's going to join us coming up next. Betting edge this college bowl season, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with our introductory offer of just $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits let you see where the money and bets are moving for every game, and our college bowl betting guide where you get picks for every single bowl game. Don't miss out, though. It's a limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up. Just $9.99. Become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Before we welcome in our great friend, Harry Gagnon, apparently he had a tough time deciding where he wanted to land on his Thursday night football bet. Let's take a look at the cartoon that helped him narrow his focus.
Harry here, and this week I'm so confident in my pick, I'm gonna get it tattooed. Is this gonna be painful?
Only for the people who see you without a shirt. So who are we going with?
Let's go with the Patriots getting the points. Now let her rip. Actually, wait. I better take the Steelers at home. Tomlin is tough in prime time.
Okay, going with the Steelers.
Hold it, Ira. I'm going to go with my gut. The Pats are due. Let's go with New England.
Which state? I could do New Hampshire on your back, actual size.
No. Steelers. Let's roll with the black and gold. I'm almost positive. Okay, let's see it. Pet me. Cool.
Every day it delivers, Harry. Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast, contributor for Odd Shark, former Vegas sportsbook supervisor, joining us like he always does. Wow, that was fun. Talk through your Thursday night selection with us.
You like that? That was pretty silly. Listen, guys, hey, you know what? I do like the Steelers -6, but I also really like a teaser here. I hit the teaser last week when we went college, when we went Alabama and over against Georgia here on Thursday night. A little easier, I think, here. Steelers on a 6-point teaser down to a pick and do the under from 30.5 up to 36.5. Look, we know both teams have struggled on offense last week. It was very shocking to see Pittsburgh, though, get outmanned like they did by the Cardinals for 60 minutes, giving up 24 to the Cards. But before that game, the Steelers defense, which has been tremendous all season, keeping them in games, 20 points or less they've given up in 7 straight before that. They got Trubisky here. Tomlin's great in prime time. Three straight games for New England. They have scored a combined 13 points here. Their offense is just beyond awful. Don't know what's going to happen to Belichick here at the end of the season, but it's not good for the Pats. On the road here, they've been awful. I think four straight games on the road. They've given up seven. They scored 17 points or less. I'm going to take the Steelers just to win the game and the game to go under 36.5, guys.
Yeah, you have no faith in Mitchell Trubisky to basically make it all happen here?
Boy.
I mean, you don't think Mitchell's going to lead them back, huh?
I think that, Michael, I think he'll lead them to a victory, and I do like a -6 because New England has been so inept on offense, but it's really risky laying 6 with the Steelers team that just only can manage 10 points in the bad weather against Arizona last week. Just to be safe, I'll lay the 6 a little bit, but I'm a teaser. I really like that more, Steelers just to win and the game to go under 36.5. That's what I like most.
Harry, that was my exact thought, and I too have this bet in pocket, and I was fully prepared for Michael to give us so much grief because I know people hate, you know, you don't tease totals, all of the things, I understand, but I think that's great. Getting it up to 36.5. All you need is the Steelers to beat the Patriots, who have an even more inept offense than the Steelers, although that seems hard to believe at times. I love the play. I'm with you, buddy, so we're on that one together. How about this Eagles-Cowboys Sunday night game, the biggest game of the week coming up here. We did get the news about Mike McCarthy and his appendix. Hope his surgery goes well today, but looks like he'll be out there coaching on the field. Dak Prescott has been fantastic, looking like an MVP candidate. What's your feel or approach to this Cowboys-Eagles game as Philly looks to rebound from a tough one against San Francisco?
You know, guys, I'm going to go with the over. I'm going to go the over 51.5 here. Dallas has been a juggernaut, especially at home. McCarthy making these play calls. Listen, Michael, can't really complain about McCarthy and his play calls. A lot of people wanted to rip him probably starting the season. He's done a great job. Dallas, four straight games at home. They've put up 40 or more. They put up, these two teams combined for over 50 in the first game. Should have probably had a little bit more. Dallas couldn't get it done at the end there. But in past history, too. 60 points plus last year when these two met up in Dallas. In 2021, 74 and 61 were scored in the game between these two. Look, I know the game against Buffalo took a lot out of Philadelphia, so they didn't have much in the tank, which I said that would happen last week against San Francisco. I think they're going to be ready here. I think Jalen Hurts is going to get his with the Philadelphia offense, but also Dallas, again, like I said, four straight games, 40-plus points, 41 last Thursday against Seattle. I'm going to take the over here at 51.5, guys.
Well, I know there can't be. I know we have a Thursday teaser, so I know that means we have to have a Sunday teaser. What do you have on plate? What are you serving Sunday in your teaser menu?
How about this one? I'm going to tease the Bills up to 9.5 against Kansas City. Josh Allen leads the NFL in touchdown passes. Kansas City, we continue to see struggle on the offensive end, especially wide receiver-wise. They've scored one time in their last four games in the second half. The Bills coming off a bye week and losing that game, like I just mentioned, against the Eagles. I think they're going to step it up here. They've scored 30-plus points two games in a row. So give me the Bills plus 2.5. And by the way, last year, the Bills won in Arrowhead as well. So I'm going to take the Bills up to 9.5 in this situation. And I'm also going to take the over in this game too, because I just think that with the tease, I think that Buffalo, like I said, is going to be able to score, and Kansas City is going to have to keep up. 44 only points scored last year against these two, but I still think the over here is the play because I think Allen is going to be able to, like I said, bye week. I consider the wide receiving core have had a really good game against the Eagles in last 2 weeks ago. I think Buffalo is going to be ready here. I love what they're going to do with Diggs. And I think game goes over and the Bills plus the 9.5. That's my two team tease.
You've also got some action in the NBA coming up tonight. Big card, 11 games on tap, including 6 with spreads of 4 points or fewer. So we should have some competitive action as well. You're interested in this Nets-Hawks game. This game tipping off at 4:40 Pacific, 7:40 local in Atlanta. Hawks down from a 4.5-point favorite now to 3.5. Total up from 241 to 244. So Nets and over taking money here. How do you see it, Harry?
Yeah, up to 244, was 241. Mikal Bridges, fantastic for the Nets so far this season, 42 in his last game. The Hawks, score like crazy. They don't play any defense. Second in the lead in a league in scoring. And these two met a few weeks back. 292 points were scored in that game, 147-145. Give me the over 244. And also, guys, with this play-in tournament on Thursday, Milwaukee's playing Indiana. The total sitting at 254. I know that seems very, very high, but this Indiana team is correct. Look at the numbers that the Pacers team has been putting up. They're first in the league in scoring. They scored 128-plus a game, almost 129. They give up about 126. Milwaukee scored 146 last night against the Knicks to qualify for this for the quarterfinals here. Mm. Milwaukee's been put up on a lot, too. These two teams combined for 250 in their first meeting. Milwaukee scores a ton, too. They average about 123, 124 games. So I love this game on Thursday in the in-season tournament. I love over 254 on primetime.
Yeah, the Bucks actually had a season high in points yesterday,
I love how
too.
He combines them both. I mean, I love how he combines them both. I mean, is there a teaser he can't get to? I mean, seriously.
Let's do it. Let's do it, guys. Love it.
See, Michael, this is the ridicule I expected earlier. I fully thought you were going to come for us.
I mean, the one that you have makes perfect sense. I mean, you think that the Steelers are going to win. There's a good chance of that. And you think that the score is going to be, even if it goes over 30, you're protected with the six. So I think I kind of like it. I really do. I think it's I'm not a teaser guy, but I think it's the right play.
First time Michael has ever liked our teasers, Harry. Let's go.
Wow. let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it, Stormy. I love it.
Appreciate your time, pal. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
Always, guys. Take care. Thanks.
That's Harry Gagnon and his play on that play-in game coming up later on tomorrow. Now all the games are going to be here in Vegas over at T-Mobile Arena. The Bucks are the favorite to win that in-season tournament, so we'll see if they're able to do that. What's your opinion on the courts, Michael? I've been dying to know. You like them, hate them?
On what, Stormy? On the
courts for the in-season tournament. Have you liked them or hated them?
I'm not a big fan. No, I'm not a big fan. I don't like them. I'm not a big fan. I like the traditional look. I like in Philly when they go back to the old palestra floor. I think that looks great. It's a little too busy for me. It's too many things going on.
See, they've grown on me a little bit. Like, the more I look at it, the more I'm like, okay, I can get on board, I suppose, but I don't know. It feels kind of just like the X Games, you know? It's just a little bit too out there. But we'll get back to the norm when we return on the Lombardi Line. Check in on your power ratings, your top five and bottom five teams in the National Football League, where they stack up next. It's the most wonderful time of year, but it can also be the most stressful when it comes to finding the perfect gift for the ones that matter most. Fortunately, Omaha Steaks is the convenient and thoughtful gift that's guaranteed to delight every single person on your gift list every time. Shop carefully curated packages that are guaranteed to make spirits bright all winter long. All you got to do is go to omahasteaks.com and save 50% off site-wide. Plus, when you use our promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, at checkout, you'll get an additional $30 off your order. It's an offer that's not going to last long, though. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, so shop early, beat the rush, visit omahasteaks.com, and take advantage of that 50% off site-wide. Plus, the promo code, again, VSIN, at checkout, that'll get you $30 more off your order. Minimum order may be required. Love that Omaha Steaks is a partner of ours now, Michael. And the only unfortunate part about doing those reads is that it gets me like in the mode about steak. I had a steak last night. You cut through it. It's like butter. It's my favorite food, Michael. I don't know what to do. I go on a tangent.
Yeah. I mean, why not? You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. You should enjoy it, right?
Yeah,
it is the most wonderful time. And Omaha's are good, you know. It's always good to see that box show up at your door. You appreciate that. That's a good gift to give somebody.
If anybody wants to get me a gift, let me know. DM me. Send you the address. We'll get it going. But we, Michael, need to get to your top five and bottom five teams in the NFL. Also, because you said why not, good tease. We got Why Not Wednesday coming up in about 20 minutes to close out the show. So get excited for that. But it is time to rank your teams. I don't think I'm going out on a limb saying that the San Francisco 49ers are going to be number one on this list. But then it's where does it gets interesting after that. Who's your number two and three specifically first?
Again, my list is always predicated on numerical numbers. Yeah. It has nothing to do with what I think. And it's all predicated on the 18 areas that I believe determine outcomes of games. And the Cowboys are number two. They moved up a spot. Baltimore, which didn't play, moved down a spot. Kansas City, which had a tough game, but they stayed, they moved up a spot. I don't know quite how that happens, but they did. And then Miami has moved up. Miami's been moving up steadily. If you look at Miami's numbers in the beginning of the week, the beginning of the season, like if you go back to week two, and that's why I try to do it every week and look at it and see Miami at week two of the season, Miami was in the middle of the pack in the low, almost to the 20s. And you say, why? Well, because their defense wasn't very good. Right. But now that their defense has really become the strength of their team, they've now become a top five team. And what's going to happen in Miami, as I wrote about the other day for VSiN, is they are identified as an offensive juggernaut. Yet in reality, they are a defensive control the pace of the game team. And if they can find a way to play physical against these good teams, these good defensive teams that seem to slow them down because of their front and because of they take away Tyreek Hill, Miami can still win with their defense. They can still win with their defense. So you can't say they're a finesse team coming to play. No, that's not the case. They are really good on defense. So they're in my top five. The Eagles, which have really been in there, and I don't know why they have, but because they were good at being able to finish games and win the middle eight, all those things, they were in the top five, but now they've dropped out. Their numbers, Stormy, are not good. Mm-hmm. When you look at them, they're the worst team on third down. That's hard to be. It's hard to be this bad of a team on third down. They're a little bit like the Lions last year, not as bad defensively in terms against the run, but against the pass they are. They can't cover. I think they're 26th in the league in yards after contact on tackling by their secondary. Horrendous. Bottom five. You know, it's really the Jets and the Commanders somehow ended up in a tie. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. The Commanders have the week off, which is good for us. We'll see that. The Patriots would be much better than the 29th team if they had any offense at all. Their defensive numbers are good. Their offensive numbers are horrendous. Arizona, no change. Carolina, no change. And the Giants, no change. I still don't understand how the Giants are going to play Tommy DeVito. I still don't understand the logic behind that. When you really break the games down and you watch how many times he's been sacked because he's had to hold the football, and then you're going to start him in a game, I just find that hard to believe. You're basically telling Tyrod that gave you everything that he could to play well, you know, that you're going to basically sit him on the bench. Think about this, Stormy. Tommy DeVito, his sack percentage is 21.1. 21.1 sack percentage. Now, Daniel Jones is just as bad. One of the things that I complain about, he holds the ball, he can't process. He's at 15.8. The one guy who got rid of the ball quickly was Tyrod Taylor at 10.3. Yet they chose to start DeVito. And so every time you get sacked, it's a negative play. How do you overcome that? He's not good enough to overcome it.
Tyrod Taylor, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but we didn't really get enough time to get into it because we had to hit the break. But Tyrod Taylor has just had, like, the most brutal experience as a quarterback in the NFL. You think back to 2020 when he's with the Chargers and things are going really well, but he gets his lung punctured by an injection for a team doctor. Then his time with the Browns in 2018, he suffers a concussion. Then in steps Baker Mayfield after that, and Tyrod Taylor's out in the wings. Now he breaks a couple of ribs, has to miss time. And he's being passed over for Tommy DeVito hasn't, he has been a fun story. I love that the fans are into it. I love that the tailgates are all about Tommy DeVito and that you talk about likability a lot, and clearly the locker room likes this kid. But it's not like the offense has been lighting it up with Tommy DeVito. And Tyrod Taylor, exactly. I feel like, has done enough to earn an opportunity. So I do feel for him. I understand why he's disappointed. I do want to follow up with some of your thoughts, though, on that top five, Michael, especially as it pertains to the Miami Dolphins. Because you talk about the way that they're known as being a great offensive team, but struggling against good defensive teams. Their losses so far this season, 48-20 at Buffalo before all of the injuries for the Bills, 31-17 loss in Philly against the Eagles, 21-14 against Kansas City, like that, a defense that we know is very stout and very good. It seems like it's only been recently that we've seen it all come together where the offense is performing and the defense is performing. They've held opponents defensively to 17 points or fewer in four of their last five games. how good is it for them that they're peaking at the right time, it seems? They're in the one seed right now in the AFC playoff picture, a couple tough games still ahead. But, I mean, if they could put themselves in a position for home field advantage, I think the sky's the limit for Miami if they continue to play this way, no?
No question. That's why I wrote the column, because I think they are peaking at the right time. Since, you know, even when they played Kansas City over in Germany, they were playing well defensively. They held Kansas City to 14 points. Not that Kansas City is a great offense any longer or this year, but remember the 24th, they scored, the Chiefs scored with their defense. They have played, they have shut people out. I said last week on the Sunday show that, you know, the money was moving towards Washington. And I kept saying, look, you know, I don't know why I didn't recommend it as a play. I'm an idiot. But, you know, like there was a good chance that they were going to get a pick six in the game. Because when you're so one-dimensional like they are, Washington, Vic will make you play left-handed. It's a little bit like Tennessee. Tennessee can't play the pass at all. They're horrible. Jeffrey Simmons isn't going to play. Okay, now Will Levis is coming to town, and Derrick Henry is going to get taken away from him because they can play run defense. And when Henry gets taken away, that means Levis is going to have to make some throws. Can he? Can the Titans, which typically score around 17 points, can they score 17 against Miami? I'm not sure. But can my Tennessee hold Miami to 31, which would be the cover if it's at 13.5? I think that's a challenge too. Tennessee, we have to, and I learned this last week, we have to stop with the Tennessee Mike Vrabel stuff because it's not applicable this year. This Miami stuff is applicable because you bet them on these numbers because their offense keeps trying to score. They're going to keep trying to get Tyreek Hill the 2,000 yards. Plus, their defense is playing really well.
So while the Miami Dolphins are a team that's peaking, we talk about the Philadelphia Eagles dropping out of your top five and that they're struggling. They're coming off their worst loss of the year by far against the San Francisco 49ers. Each of their last four wins prior to that were one-score games, went to overtime with the Bills. Even Washington took them to the wire. How big of a concern is it for you? Yeah. How big of a concern is it for you that Philadelphia is struggling the way that they are, getting close to playoff time?
Well, I think it's got to be real concerning because we've seen Philly hasn't played really to the level we saw them last year all year. They haven't. I've called them the Super Bowl hangover team for 50 minutes because in the last 10 minutes they turn it on, they win games. You know, I don't think they've ever been in that rhythm that they had last year in terms of being explosive to start the game. They don't look as fresh to me as they did last year. And again, it's a long season. When you go to the Super Bowl and you're practicing more, all those things are good problems to have, but they create some kind of sense of tiredness as you go through the season. Look, we can sit here and say all we want. I mean, the Patriots are 2-10. You can make the case that they should have won a couple more games. You could also make the case that the Eagles could have easily lost to the Bills, the Chiefs, or the Cowboys, but they didn't because of their resiliency and their will. I don't know how far that can carry you moving forward.
Also, I say the 49ers are their worst loss by far because of the margin of victory for San Francisco. But what is really worse, losing that way to San Francisco or just losing to the Jets, period? Because I feel like it's ugly either way. We're going to take a break here. Closing things out on the Lombardi line next with a little Why Not Wednesday, looking at some long shots and seeing if they make us want to say, why not? We'll be right back. In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, DraftKings Sportsbook's got your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on hoops. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Question, maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
It's so crazy it just might work, Michael. Let's get into it. Why Not Wednesday? Yeah. Looking at some long shots. I want you to tell me if you think that they can hit or not. Starting on Thursday Night Football, we talk about this being a low-scoring affair. The total down to 30, the lowest we've seen in a regular season game since my birth year in 1992, Michael. How about this? Neither team to score 10 points. Can it make you say why not? 14-1 is the prop.
Man, why not?
I mean,
the Patriots, neither team scores, you mean in like a 7-6 game is what you're saying to me, right?
Precisely.
Why not? I mean, the Patriots haven't scored. They can't score. I mean, I'm not, you know, as soon as the Patriots get anywhere close to field goal range, plus their kicker has been horrendous. He's missed kicks all the time. And now you go into Pittsburgh, one of the hardest places to kick. No. I would say why not? Neither team gets the 14. I would. Because, look, Mike, if you're Mike Tomlin, what are you saying to your team? We're not turning this ball over. We cannot give them field position. Last week, the reason the Patriots didn't score against the Chargers was because their drive started at the 14-yard line. That was the average starting point for the Patriots, their own 14. So for them to even get in the field goal range, they had to go almost 70 yards. And that's why they kept stalling. So if you don't turn this thing over, they're not going to score unless you give up a pass interference call or something like that. So once you get to 7, you might want to just sit on it. You might want to just go into four corners and just start spreading the court.
I love it. I love it. He says, why not? 14-1 the prop. We got two backup quarterbacks, two good defenses. New England, 5 times, has scored 7 or fewer points, including the last 3. And the Steelers, 10 or fewer, 5 times throughout the course of the season. So there's the 14-1 to score for neither team to score 10, and a plus 320 for neither team to score at least 15. So keep those in your back pocket if you think it's going to be a low-scoring game on Thursday night. How about this one? From a couple of teams that would be struggling to a couple of teams that are pretty darn good. An exact matchup for the Miami Dolphins and the San Francisco 49ers to go head-to-head in the Super Bowl, Michael. 8-1. Do you think that they can carry this through? Can you say why not?
Why not? Why not? I mean, right now, if you ask me to pencil two teams in, I would say those two teams. I would, because, look, I'm not in love with Miami's offensive line, and I know if they go on the road, it's a problem. However, you know, they've struggled. But this defense is really good, and this defense is going to keep them in games. And, you know, look, Tyreek Hill tilts the field. You know, he tilts the field. You got to take him away. And Waddle's a good player. So it's, even if you take, you know, if you take Travis Kelce away, where are the Chiefs going? You know, they have Waddle. And so, and the fact that they get home field, if they beat Dallas and Baltimore and they get home field and you have to go to South Florida, like most people from the Northeast do in the winter, it'll be tough to play down there.
Yeah, boy, have they been good at home this year. They are the favorite to win the AFC, third shot to win the Super Bowl. San Francisco, your favorite right now at around 3-1 or so. We also have exactas for the College Football Playoff National Championship here at Circa on DraftKings as well. Can I tempt you in an Alabama to beat Washington in the National Championship future? Plus 650 is that number.
You could tempt me. Why not? Yeah, sure. Because I'm not, you know, I haven't handicapped the games or broke them down, but I think Washington, what they did last week, obviously that 10 number against Oregon was a completely wrong number. And they put it out there, and I was gullible enough to take it because I thought, oh, Washington's slipping. They struggled to beat Oregon State. I think the longer you discount Washington, the more they creep up on you. And Washington's a physical team. I think they'll play well. And look, I think Alabama, Michigan, you would agree, is a toss-up. Both teams well-coached. Both teams have great leadership. You know, I think that when you look at that, why not Alabama? Why not Washington? Why not make that play?
Yeah, so you're getting the value at plus 650 because it would mean both of the underdogs in these semifinals are making the championship. But I told you off the hop, I kind of get this feeling that Alabama could win it all. So little bit of value if Washington can escape Texas. I like it too. I say why not. This next one I'm not so sure I can get you on board with. Coming up, they got held out of the College Football Playoff, Michael. They got held out of the top four. They want to make a name for themselves against Georgia. Can you say why not about Florida State to get a money line win over the Bulldogs?
No, you can't get me there. But I will say this, though. Not today, you can't get me there. Now, in 2 weeks, if I find out most of Georgia's players aren't playing because they don't want to play, you might get me there.
Got a month to prepare as well.
I do know Florida State wants to prove that they can win. I mean, I think they're going to try to play the best. Now, if they don't have their quarterback, you know, then it's going to be really challenging. And if Georgia's not really interested in the game, but I have a feeling that Kirby's going to want to make his team interested in the game because he wants to use this game as a slight that they should be in it. And then I think he wants to use this game to propel them into next season.
Yeah, I get that vibe too. They're a two-score favorite for a reason in this spot, sitting around 14, 14 and a half. They took money early. But with Florida State, you know, the, plus 470 is the price for them to win on the money line. And you just wonder if Tate Rodemaker back, at least. He is still a backup, but back, and the motivation of being held out and all of that stuff. You can't really handicap motivation, but you never know. Okay, more reasonable things, shall we? Patrick Mahomes, currently sixth in the league in passing touchdowns, but he only trails Dak Prescott by three. He's got 22, Dak has 26. Mahomes to have the most regular season passing touchdowns, a 10-1 prop. Could you say why not? Could Mahomes catch up?
I'd say no. I'm not going there because I think people, Andy's going to have to run trick plays down there. And I think what people are saying to Reed is throw the ball, run the ball down here. If you're going to score, run the ball. Take away Kelsey, take that away, and you try to run it. And maybe he'll try to force the ball into some bad spots. He's got 10 interceptions. I mean, this is not a good year in terms of him protecting the football. I think these other quarterbacks will get more touchdown passes than him as the year goes on because, let's face it, they're not an explosive offense this year.
Well, that brings me to my next one as well because Kansas City is hosting the Buffalo Bills this week, and it is a short spread, only 1.5 at this point. Could you say why not to Buffalo cash in a money line ticket and getting the upset in Arrowhead?
Oh, I'd definitely say why not to that. I think Buffalo's a very dangerous team right now because – now they've decided they're no longer worried about, we got to save Josh Allen. You know, we can't let him run the ball. We got to do this. No, it's they Teddy KGB'd this. They pushed their chips to the middle of the table. And he's going to carry him, and he's playing at a high level. Now, he turns the ball over too much, but he overcomes it. And I think that they match up really well with Kansas City. They don't, Kansas City will stop their run. Buffalo don't want to run the ball. They want Allen to run the ball. That's a hard thing to do. Plus, when Allen runs around, that's when the offense comes to life and they make plays down the field. We saw that that Dawson Knox started his 21-day period. Maybe they get him back for this game. Who knows? And that certainly would help. And I think the Bills' defense. Look, the Bills' defense isn't great, and I've criticized them for a while. But they match up. They're a nickel defense that matches up to Andy Reid. I mean, unless Andy goes in there and wants to run it down their throats, I think Buffalo will hold on in there. And I think it's a field goal game. I think that's why, to me, they have as good a chance as any. They can't afford to lose it. There's nothing, they can't leave anything out there. They got to go full throttle in every game they play. They have to go completely all in.
Yep, 6-6, trying to make that push. They have to. And I like what you said about Josh Allen. We saw against the Eagles before the bye week, the way that they're going to use him a little bit differently. And now having that extra week to prepare maybe could help them here against Kansas City. One more, last 60 seconds, Michael. Not a lot of optimism about the Chargers, but Khalil Mack does lead the league in sacks with 15. One more than TJ Watt. 4-1 to have the most regular season sacks. Could you say why not?
Yeah, I could say why not on that. TJ Watt's complaining. You know, they did that this week. He's complaining he's getting held too much. They're trying to get a call this week. I mean, certainly the Patriots will have to hold him if they want to block him. They'll have a problem if Trent Brown doesn't play left tackle. He's been in and out of the lineup. Connor McGregor has had a play over there. He can't block him. So I think Mac has the best chance because he's been able to, even without Bosa, he's been able to make himself really known on the field and create some problem. He gets more sacks and true pressures, but he's been a really good player for him this year.
Well done, Michael. Another banger edition of Why Not Wednesday. Good stuff. We got some plus money.
Thank you, Stormy.
We got some plus money things for people in the accounts now. Thank you. That's going to do it for us today. When you come back on VSiN and DraftKings Network, those of you, you got to make sure that you keep hanging out. Pablo Torre is going to come up for the DKN folks. We got the Sharp Money crew, Patrick Maher. If you're a Lombardi Line fan, you know and love Patrick. Make sure you stick around there. And then Michael and I will be back right here tomorrow, same time, same place. You won't want to miss it. That's a wrap for today's edition of the Lombardi Line.